The scripture reading today comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, we'll read the first 11 verses. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the desert of Judea, announcing, "Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." He was the one whom Isaiah the prophet spoke when he said, "The voice of one shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John wore clothes made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and all around the Jordan River came to him. As they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John. He said to them, "You children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, 'Abraham is our father.' I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire. I baptize with water those who have changed your hearts and lives. The one who is coming after me is stronger than I am. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If the Advent call of the Apostle Paul was "wake up," then the Advent call of John the Baptist is "straighten up." Comparing the two messengers, Paul seems a tad gentler than John. You might say that Paul had more of a wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey kind of tone, while John's approach was more of a literal splash of cold water in the face as he plunged his hearers beneath the flowing waters of the Jordan. But this much the two had in common. Both of them said a new day was coming. Both of them said that that new day demanded preparation, a response. Together, Paul and John the Baptist tell us that Advent is a time to wake up and straighten up. Both of them said the new day called for a change in the way life was to be lived. While it might have been easier to sleep through Paul's metaphorical language focused on day and night, John's message was characteristically as plain as day. Change your hearts and your lives. Some versions of Scripture translate John's message as a call to repent. However it is translated, what John was calling for isn't just about feeling bad about what you've done, or even so much about saying, "I'm sorry." Rather, John was talking about a reorientation, a change of perspective and direction, a commitment to turn and live differently. John's kind of repentance entails looking honestly at who you have been, the things you have done, and who you have become. While reminiscence of our past is easily glorified, John seems to tell everybody to keep it real. He leaves no room for a biased, rose-colored self-assessment of your past. People from Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and all around the Jordan River came to him. Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John. What a turnout! Looking at them, John called them children of snakes or a brood of vipers. "That's the view from here," he said. What a turnoff! And John was just getting started. Don't think playing the Father Abraham card is going to do you any good. This is about you, and about you changing your hearts and lives. Were they convinced? Were the people who heard the voice crying in the wilderness convinced that they needed to change? Did they believe they could change? Why was John the Baptist convinced that people could change? Well, perhaps it was because he himself had changed. John was from a wealthy priestly class, but he had been schooling himself in divestment, shedding himself of everything that would obstruct his path that he was called to prepare. And so we find him clothed in animal skins, living off the land in the wilderness, in order to become who he was purposed to be, rather than remaining defined by his past. Good, bad, or otherwise, repentance, change, means putting off anything and everything in our past that doesn't take us closer to God and where God wants us to be. John the Baptist would tell us that preparing the way, making the path straight, means being willing to leave our familiar and well-trod paths and venture down another way. Each time we do so, we are sure to experience the joy of Advent, our reclamation, our redemption. John was the picture of change standing before the people. Was that enough to convince them that they could change too? What about you? Do you think people can change? Can people overcome their past, whatever it might be? Can they change the course of their lives? Can they begin to behave differently or choose to follow a completely different path? Perhaps the more pressing question is, do you believe you can change? Can people change? That is the central question in this year's Advent movie, The Man Who Invented Christmas. The movie depicts the struggle Charles Dickens had in writing his famous book, A Christmas Carol. He says in the movie that he can't get the characters to do what he wants them to do. His problem was that he didn't believe that people could change. In particular, Dickens didn't believe Scrooge could change. Scrooge was too selfish, and he had been that way for a very long time. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Could a man as mean-spirited as Scrooge, as evil as Scrooge, could he become a different person overnight? The movie suggests that Scrooge's character was a reflection of Charles Dickens himself. At one point, Dickens asks Scrooge who he is. Scrooge says, "You know me, Charlie. I am a shadow on your thoughts, a crack on your heart, a stain upon your soul, and I will never, ever leave you. People don't change, Charlie." Dickens didn't think Scrooge could change because he didn't think he could change himself. Dickens' wife, Kate, had told him in an argument that he didn't know how difficult a person he was to live with. In response, Dickens said, "I am who I am." "Who is that?" Kate asked. "It's as if there are two of you, one who is kind and gentle, and a secret self that no one is allowed to know or question." You see, both Dickens and Scrooge were afraid of being found out. As a child, Charles Dickens had been sent to a workhouse when his father was sent to debtor's prison. There he knew abandonment, fear, and hunger. Despite his successful writing career, Dickens had been unable to free himself from the ghosts of his past. He was haunted by the fear that no amount of success would ever overcome his past, that someday he would be found out. He feared that under his fame and wealth, he was still the same scabby little nobody. It's no coincidence that the first of the three ghosts to visit Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol is the ghost of Christmas past. The past was a place where Scrooge would rather not have gone. It was a place that reminded him of who he was and from where he had come. There were junctures in his past where choices had been made, courses had been chosen that led him to the miserable place where he now found himself. While it may include places we would rather avoid, a visit to our past can be the first step toward change. The kind of change that brings deep healing and transformation, even redemption, making peace with our past, making peace with the events and the characters of our past, frees us from the grip of past wounds and enables us to change, allowing us to set our feet on the path of peace. The climactic scene in the movie The Man Who Invented Christmas comes when Dickens returns to that abandoned workhouse that had haunted him since he was a child. It was there that the story of Scrooge opened up to Dickens' imagination. Ebenezer Scrooge descends not into the Jordan River, but into an unmarked grave to die alone, forgotten, no friends, no family. It was too late. Mr. Scrooge had come to his end until he changed. Realizing it was never too late, he begged for the opportunity to do some good before he died. Dickens writes in A Christmas Carol, holding up his hands in a last prayer to have his fate reversed, Scrooge saw an alteration in the phantom's hood and dress. It shrunk, collapsed, and dwindled down into a bedpost. And the bedpost was his own. The bed was his own, and the room was his own. Best and happiest of all, the time before him was his own to make amends in. He knew what path lay straight before him, and he took it. He became a good friend, as good a master, as good a man, as the good old city knew, or any other good old city or borough, in the good old world. Dickens' point seems to be that if a man as mean-spirited as Scrooge, as evil as Scrooge, could change, then so can we. So can anybody. Does Dickens convince us that it is possible for people to change? Does John the Baptist convince us that we need to change? Do we really believe people can change? We really believe we need to. Here's the thing. Try as he may, I'm not sure Dickens did convince us that people can change, let alone whether John the Baptist convinced us that we need to. Ebenezer Scrooge, when you think of that character, Ebenezer Scrooge remains the epitome of all that is wrong with humankind. Though we know the story and the outcome of the story, though we see the change in Scrooge, we seem to refuse to allow him to change. He remains, and his story remains, the personification of a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Why is that? Charles Dickens might say it is because Scrooge is somehow a reflection of us too. That we too are still struggling with the question of whether anybody can change, whether we can change. Advent is a time to wake up and straighten up. It is a time, John the Baptist says, to change our course, to make peace with our past and all that lingers there, our memories, ourselves, and others. To free ourselves to take this first step, setting our feet on the path to peace. The time before us is our own to make amends in. Let us know what path lays straight before us and take it. Amen.